We'd like to welcome our worldwide radio audience to the regular worship of the Main Street Church of Christ. We especially want to ask that you continue to pray for worldwide Christian radio and for our Radio Madagascar that we're going to be broadcasting by the end of the year from Madagascar and the Indian Ocean. That'll cover all of South America, all of Africa, Europe, all of Eastern Europe, and then their other antenna will cover Russia, China, all the Pacific, Indonesia, Malaysia, Japan, Australia, New Zealand. God's really blessing us, and we're really doing many things. We've dropped some small stations that had thousands, and now we've added some large stations that's got millions and billions in radio broadcast area. And so we pray that you continue to pray for us, that this work might go on, that we might continue to grow. We have been studying the second coming of Christ. We're going to continue to do that for several more weeks in order that you might get the full picture. We very well could be living in end times, and it could be another 1,000 years. Who knows? That's what he said, is watch and pray, and we're going to continue to do that. Last week, we studied the parable of the 10 virgins, and it was in this manner Jesus said would be his second coming. And now we're going to study the parable of the talents. And that Jesus is saying that this is just like what it's going to be like when the Lord comes again. Matthew 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Jesus is going to heaven. He called the apostles and his servants and delivered unto them his goods. The kingdom of heaven is a church. He called his servants. God never makes the children of men proprietors of his goods. We are formed by his power. We're upheld by his bounty, and we hold our lives and our goods as a trust at the will of our Lord. In Mark 13, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming he find you sleeping." Jesus has told us to watch and pray. We're going to see him. He's going to come, whether it's the second coming of Christ, or whether we croak, either one. We're going to see the Lord, and it's going to be the coming of the Lord, whichever one of those that happened. Jesus taught many subjects over and over and over again, like the Sermon on the Mount. He didn't just teach that once. That's what he taught everywhere he went. And so you get another example of him teaching the same thing in Luke chapter 6 also. Jesus teaches the same subject we're going to study today in Luke 19, and I'm going to read the whole teaching to you. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh unto Jerusalem, and because they thought the kingdom of God should immediately appear. And he said, "Therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country." Jesus is going to go into heaven. He's going to go to heaven to receive for himself a kingdom. I've been teaching you over and over and over again, when did Jesus get his kingdom? When he went to heaven. That's when he received his kingdom. What is the kingdom of God? It's the church. Who is the church? It's you. And so Jesus went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. He's going to come again someday. And he called his 10 servants and delivered unto them 10 pounds and said unto them, "Occupy until I come." But his citizens, the Jews, the nations that was God's own chosen people that turned against him, but the citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, "We will now have this man reign over us." And that is just an overview of the attitude of the Jewish nation between 30 AD and 70 AD and the destruction of Jerusalem, and has been their attitude ever since. They don't want anything to do with Christ. "We will not have this man reign over us." And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded those servants to be called unto him whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, "Lord, thy pound has gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, "Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And so it's like this. It's not literal. It's like this. This is a figurative picture of what Christ's coming is going to be like. And so if you're faithful over little, you're going to be made ruler over much. 18. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound has gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise unto him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up, thou layest not down, and reapest where thou did not sow. And he said unto him, out of thy own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that which I laid not down, and reaping where I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might require my own with usury, with interest, in other words. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Lord, he that hath the 10 pounds, for I say unto you, that every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those my enemies which would not have that I should reign over them, bring them hither and slay them before me. Matthew 25, verse 14 is going to begin our parable now. It's much like this parable that we just read. For the kingdom of heaven is likened a man traveling into a far country, Jesus going into heaven, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. God in Jesus risked it all. Christ's departure from the earth is referred to. He called his church, he called his disciples, he called his church members, in other words, and delivered unto them his goods. This applies to the trust of the interest of the kingdom of God and our Savior that's given to his servants here on earth. In 2 Corinthians 4, 7, it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. The angels themselves would love to come and preach, but instead this treasure of the gospel has been given to earthen vessels, to people like you and me. You to ask somebody, hey, why don't you come to church with me? Me to teach and preach and do the things that I'm supposed to do. So that's what it means, that this treasure of God, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, is given in earthen vessels. Matthew 25:15. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. To one he gave 5 talents. To another 2, and to another 1. The talent wasn't a coin, but it was a weight that was especially applied to precious metals, to every man according to his several ability. The sums entrusted to the servants were graded by their capacity. The trust of the Lord to each servant is measured according to his mental ability, his wealth, his position, and his influence. The duties that men are called to perform are suited to their situation and the talents that they receive. The man who improves the grace which God is giving, however small, will surely get to the kingdom of God. And he who has received most from his master and improved all is going to get no more than the one who improves the least. A talent of gold, authorities say, weighed typically about 33 kilograms or 75 pounds. A troy ounce of gold weighed, there were 12 troy ounces per pound, rather than the 16 ounces per pound in our system found today. Therefore, a talent of gold would be worth $1,080,000 today in today's money at $1,200 a troy ounce. Jesus made an enormous investment in us all. I went and borrowed this $20 gold piece because I wanted you to see what an ounce of gold looks like. Jesus says that to the least person sitting out here who's a Christian, that he gave you 900 of these. Now, this was made in 1877. And in 1877, skilled laborers were paid, a blacksmith was paid $16.26 for 60 hours of work. 10 hours a day, 6 days a week. Does anybody in here have to work that hard? Does anybody in here have to work 10 hours a day, 6 days a week, shoeing horses to make less than one of these? Jesus said that he gave the equivalent of 18 years of pay for a skilled laborer. The equivalent of 18 years of pay he invested in the least person in this building who's a Christian. A carpenter made $19.32. You'd have to work all week long if you were a skilled carpenter to just get one of these, and you wouldn't quite get one of them. That's a lot of work. That's a whole lot of work. A machinist made $14.58, and just a regular old laborer like most of us are made $9.06. You'd have to work over 2 weeks to get one of these. And Jesus said that he gave the equivalent of 900 of these to the least Christian. Keep that in mind as we study this parable. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or go to our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for free downloadable a cappella singing. There's all kinds of thousands of lessons on there and all kinds of written lessons and all kinds of audio lessons. You know what you were bought with? You weren't bought with 900 silver coins. That's the result of you being bought. Guess what you were bought with? For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from the vain conversations received from the traditions of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in this last time to you. God says before he ever said, let there be light, before the foundation of the world, before time began, Christ was foreordained. This is a foreordained plan. This is not evolution. This is not evolving. This is not getting better. This is a foreordained plan that Christ would come into the world. God knew if he created Adam and Eve, they'd sin. That God himself would need to take on flesh and blood and become a human being, live a perfect sinless life, and die in the place of us, the righteous for the unrighteous. Christ paid my debt of death and sin to God, and God is now well satisfied with the sacrifice of Christ. This is quite a trust. This $1,080,000, this 900 pieces of gold, this one talent of gold that God invested in the least of you, this is quite a trust when compared to, in Jesus' day, they made 15 cents a day. Can you imagine that? 15 cents a day. You guys live in a different world, and you're really not taught history in high school and in college. Do you really know that up until the 1920s or so, people had to work all day long just to eat? From sun up, you had to get up, you had to be ready to go the minute the sun came up, and you had to work until you couldn't see anymore at night, and then you had to go home and by candlelight eat and do your business and go to bed and get up and be up and eat and already ready to go, be at the field already when the light come up the next morning, just to live. And you had to pickle your food and you had to dry it and you had to do all that stuff or you were destroyed in the winter. It's only in the last 50 years that we've got it made like this, guys. Matthew 25:16. Then he that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them 5 talents. This guy who received the 5 talents was given equivalent of $5,400,000 to begin his ministry. Then he that received 5 traded and made it 5 more. Whosoever diligently uses the power and means the Lord has given, such is a servant, and it results in gains to others and gains to himself. Notice the master's kindness. The servant had nothing. He deserved nothing. He had no claim to his master, yet the master in his kindness delivered unto them his goods. The master distributes these goods diversely, given to one 5, to another 2, to another 1. No person can complain that he's been forgotten. Hey, I was left out in the cold. That's a bald-faced lie. Christ died on the cross for you, and he is going to give you every opportunity if you'll just try to work for him. He's going to give you every opportunity and everything you need to do to make it work, isn't he, Larry? Sitting right back here at the back. He was homeless, and now he's a kitchen manager, and he feeds thousands. He's gone from a shelter to being a feeder of all the people in the shelter. God will make it possible if you're for real. All you got to be is for real. The master distributes his talents with wisdom. He gave to each according to his several ability, i.e., that means the power of the servant to improve upon what was given. Powers which men have, God has given, as he best knows the extent of those powers and the abilities that we possess. Though he may make one vessel more honorable or far more honor than another for another place or office, and another for dishonor or less honorable, both are for the master's use, both appointed to show forth his glory. I'm not smooth. I'm not slick. I'm not well-spoken like some of these guys out at one of these big, beautiful churches out there. I don't have perfect English. I don't even worry about it. I use double negatives. I speak Keone English, the English of the marketplace, the English of the street. The Bible was written in Keone Greek. It was not written in classical Greek. It was written in the language of the people. I speak the language of the people. I'm just a little old two-talent Christian here. I'd never fit out in a nice, big, smooth church like Saturn Road or Preston Crest or Highland Oaks or one of them. But I'm telling you, them smooth boys wouldn't be able to make it down here either. Them smooth boys, they'd already made a sissy out of them down here. They'd have took everything they had from them down here. So God, in his own wisdom, according to a man's several ability, I'm telling you, God has been training me since 1970 to do what I'm doing right now. He had to beat me almost to death to get my attention. But he's been training me all those years just to do what I'm doing right now. Matthew 25, verse 17. And likewise, he that received the 2, he also gained 2. These persons are termed doulios, is a Greek word. It means slave. And such were the property of the master that he might dispose of them in any way he wants. I'm a slave. God can do with me in any way that he wants to do with me. And so all of us, if we're truly Christ, we have been bought. We're a slave. We have been bought with a price, with his precious blood. Nothing could be more wonderful of a gift, the blood of Christ. Notice the work was speedily begun. As soon as the master gave the talents and departed, immediately they began to labor. There's not a moment to be lost. I'm telling you, I'm 70 years old. I'm going to be 71 this year. I might have 5 years left. Y'all know I've already died I don't know how many times. Your prayers have spared me. I might have 5 years left. I might have 10. This whole generation of leadership of this church hadn't got but 10 years left. There isn't a moment to lose. We don't have time to fiddle at all. We've got to be about the master's business. Their work is crowned with success. Ours has been crowned with success. We got no money. Where do you think we do all this stuff? And we feed 150,000 meals a year. We preach the gospel in the entire earth. God sends it. It's God that gives the talents. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He made a great investment in us. And we need to pay attention to God's business. They doubled the sum which they had been received. Every grace that God's give is capable of great improvement. They were ready to give in a joyful account. Notice every one of those people were ready immediately to tell their master, yeah, and give an accounting. They came without delay because they watched and prayed and expected his coming. Well, I expect it, and I'm looking for it, and I pray for it. Come, Lord Jesus, come today. They came without fear because the master whom they appeared had always loved them. And Jesus said, he that loves me will keep my words. They render up their accounts without confusion. They knew exactly what they had earned. He who received the 5 talents brought 5 others. He that received the 2 brought 2 more. Nothing was done when their master called. All the business was already fully completed and prepared. They received gracious promises. You've been faithful over a little, I'll set you over much. They received glory. Just as Christ entered the glory, we're to be partakers of his nature here on earth and sharers of his glory in heaven. Matthew 25:18. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Before the days of banks and depositories, and still in countries where they're not established, it's a common thing for treasure to be hid in the earth. The servant's only care was to hold on to what he had. See the ingratitude of the servant? His master gave him a talent capable of being improved. I'm telling you, we've got to improve on what we've got here. We can't just sit and fiddle. Improve to his own present eternal advantage. But he slights the mercy of his Lord. Notice the ingratitude of the servant. The master gave him a talent, and wasn't grateful at all. See his idleness rather than exerting and working himself to improve what he has received. He goes and hides it. And notice his gross error. He digs to hide it. Instead of working like he's supposed to do for God, he exerts himself and works to hide the talent. It costs him more to hide it than it would for him to be about the master's business. See his injustice. He takes his master's money and neither improves or designs to improve it, even while he's living on it and consuming the bounty which would have been sufficient for a faithful servant. How many preachers in the Church of Christ today are occupying a pulpit and undeservedly when there's a real Christian who could be there preaching and teaching and winning souls? There's an organization in this town that's all about social work, a Church of Christ organization, and they refuse to allow Jesus to even be mentioned. And Jesus said that I'll remember every one of you that gives a drink of water in my name. But what if they give a drink of water and don't mention his name? Even the wicked do that. But of course, they want something. The wicked want something for that drink of water, don't they? They want to own big fancy apartment buildings. They want to own big this or big that. How much useless lumber is there in the Church of Christ? Suppose the man was a preacher. What a terrible account he'll have to give to God, consuming the provisions made for a fit preacher and a faithful preacher, and so burying or misusing the talent to no good, refusing to save souls. Hear the absurdity of his reasoning. Lord, I knew that thou art a hard or arduous man. The sense of desiring more of something than one might be entitled to. Is God like that? Does he desire more than he's entitled to? Such were his words. Reaping where thou hast not sown. It's the way of self-righteous sinners to seek to justify themselves. The conclusion always turns against them. I knew thee to be a hard man. How awfully deceived and deeply depraved must this person be who not only attempts to excuse his follies, but to blame his crimes on God himself. Happens every day. Happens every day. I was afraid because why? Because you were an enemy of your soul and to God. I was afraid of what? I'm not afraid of God. I'm ready to go sing. I don't deserve anything. I don't deserve or merit salvation, but I'm not afraid of Him. He loved me. He died for me. I'm not afraid of Him. Matthew 25:19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants comes and reckons with them. After a long time, there is a certain hint here that there would be a long period of time before the Lord's return. And it's now been 2,000 years. And I think you can tell by the wickedness of our nation and the wickedness of our people and the wickedness of our leaders and the wickedness of our politicians that it won't be long. Is it sinful to vote for a sinful politician? Is it? Huh? Come on, tell me. Well, there's a good choice right there. What else is there? There isn't any. They're all taking us to the same place. It does not matter which party you vote for. They're all ungodly. Some claim to be godly and have a little bit of godliness. The others have no godliness, but they all lead to the same direction. We are in deep trouble in this nation. We're in deep, deep trouble in this nation. I heard that line, Donald Trump. You know, I went on the website and I Googled Los Angeles County 10 Most Wanted. Do it. I dare you to do it. Go do it. Go Google Los Angeles, California 10 Most Wanted Criminals. I dare you to do it. I dare you to go Google Texas Department of Public Safety 10 Most Wanted Criminals. Take a look at them. See for yourself. God's going to come and reckon. Matthew 25:20. And so he that received 5 talents came and brought 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 more. He that received 5 talents doubled what he received, in acknowledgement that all was due to his Lord who had given him everything. So he went and bought and laid it all at Jesus' feet. Matthew 25:21. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Observe here that God's talents that have made the 10 talents. The fruitfulness of the worker depends on what God's given us. In God's government, all depends on us being faithful and our trustworthiness and our loyalty. Fulfillment of duty in a lower or lesser station is rewarded by us being bid come up higher. Present duties are trials of character. God gives talents that He may test and try and prove what our metal is made out of. It's in the furnace of affliction that God finds who is worthy of trust. Matthew 25:22. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 talents besides them. Matthew 25:23. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He that also received 2 talents, his trustworthiness was rewarded and acknowledged just exactly in the same terms as the first servant who got the 5 talents and brought back 5 more talents. The final reward depends on faithfulness, not on greatness. I mean, I can't be some Billy Graham kind of guy. All I can do is be faithful over what He's given me and try to improve it every way I can. Lord, please give us Madagascar. We can preach this gospel to the entire earth of Madagascar. And so can our other brethren in Franklin, Tennessee. Every seed produces after its own kind. Apples produce apples, grapes produce grapes, not apples. And Christians are to produce Christians. The prophet Isaiah pictured the Messiah as being a servant. And many times in Isaiah 42, 49, 50, 52, 53. We are Christ's servants, and our pleasure is the excitement of service. This is exciting stuff. This is wonderful stuff. It ought to be exciting to you to come to church to know that you're helping take the gospel to the whole wide world, that you're feeding 150,000 hungry people a year. That ought to be exciting to you. Let's drop down to 2 Timothy 4:2. The greatest service that we can render to a lost, erring sheep is to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Matthew 25:24. Then he that had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man. He didn't even know the Lord, did he? I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou art not strong. But God gave him $1,080,000 according to our money today. He blamed his own unproductivity on Jesus. Jesus has sown generously in his investment and trust in all three. Matthew 25:25. And I was afraid, went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that that is thine. Is it possible he buried it in a beautiful box of religious activity and ritualism and ceremonialism or social works like passing out combs and toothbrushes in place of preaching the gospel? When I was a chaplain in the Dallas County Jail, the greater Dallas community of churches just literally despised the ministry that we had there. We were teaching, baptizing 1,000 people a year. They hated that. They would have loved me if I had to give out combs and toothbrushes and not said a word about Jesus. It's been just wonderful. They called me into a meeting. They had the director of the jail, and they had the entire board of directors of the Greater Dallas Community of Churches sitting in a circle. People in the Salvation Army in uniforms, people in them black suits and white collars, blue suits and white collars. They dress up, boy, they've got robes, they got things that you wouldn't believe. Sitting all around the circle in one chair sitting out in the middle, looked like the electric chair sitting out there in the middle. And so I got the chair and pulled it back in line with them. And they said, well, said, we're examining here, said, you've got Bible college, but you don't have a degree in counseling. I said, well, let's get down to the bottom line. Here's what I'll do. I'll take my badge and put it right here on the counter, and I'll get up and walk out of this room if your chaplain can name the books of the New Testament in order. And they all turned on him like, well, do it, do it, do it. And of course, it needs not be said, he couldn't do it. But I tell you what he could do. He could cash an inmate's check and charge him $5 to cash his check and not give him a penny until the check paid. And if some poor old woman sent her son $10, he got half of it. And if some poor old woman sent her son $7, he got $5. And if somebody sent their kid $50, he got $5. He had a racket going, man. And he drove a nice new fancy car, and Chaplain Ray used to give us Bibles, and he'd take and load his trunk up with them Bibles and take them out and give them away to churches that was scratching his back. That's the kind of corruption that we deal with in government today. And you ask, what are we going to do? Well, they're all like that. And Jesus will judge that. He's coming to judge that. I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth, and there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Oughtest therefore thou had put my money into the exchangers, and then at my coming should I have received my own with usury. If the Lord was so exacting as he supposed, he should at least have put his money with the money brokers and earned something. 25:28, take therefore the talent from him and give it to him that had the 10 talents. He had shown himself unworthy of the trust. He'd enjoyed the opportunity to serve the Lord, but had utterly neglected it. Therefore, the opportunity was taken away from him. And so the application of this is easy. Give it to him that has a 10, because he has showed himself worthy of great trust. 25:29. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away that which he hath. Every attainment of honor and wealth and knowledge and spiritual grace helps to render further attainment more easy, more sure. Matthew 25:30. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there should be the weeping and gnashing of teeth. Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, a state of banishment from the presence of the Lord. Have you a trust from the Lord? Are you useful to him according to your ability? He is reproached, thou wicked and slothful servant, wicked in your heart, slothful in his work. Thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not. You are condemned with your own mouth. He's stripped of his possessions. Take from him the talent from him. Oh, what a terrible word to hear on the judgment day. Remove the candlestick from that slothful, worldly-minded church. Take away the inspiration of the Holy Spirit from that lukewarm Christian and from those lukewarm congregations who only live to resist God and to make his word of none effect. Our Episcopalian brethren voted 2 weeks ago to allow homosexual marriage. And we don't want to say anything unkind at all to homosexuals. We want to love and to respect all people, no matter what their sins are, because those sins are not any worse than my sin. My sins are terrible. All sins are terrible. But they voted 129-25 to allow gay marriage. In the 1980s, a man named Murchison with the Dallas Morning News was a political writer. And he wrote editorials on the editorial page. And Murchison wrote an article, and the Episcopalian Church had come together to have a synod in York, England, and the synod was about whether the Scripture was the inspired Word of God, whether Jesus was born of a virgin or not, whether Jesus literally rose from the dead, or whether he rose in the hearts of his disciples, and things of that nature. Could an active practicing homosexual be a bishop? And those were the questions that they came together to vote on, and they voted to allow all that, and that the Bible wasn't the Word of God, and Jesus wasn't born of a virgin, and so forth. And that night, lightning struck that church, and it burned to the ground. And the church was from the 1400s. The building had been there for hundreds and hundreds of years, and lightning had never struck it before, and it never burned down. And Murchison's headline says, "Do you have to be struck by lightning?" Now, the priest who was in charge of that particular church, he said that he was able to get in after the fire started and save some of the holy icons. And cast ye the unprofitable servant to outer darkness, where there should be the wailing and gnashing of teeth. Let him have nothing but darkness who refuses to walk in the light. Let him have nothing but misery, weeping and gnashing of teeth, who refuse the happiness which God had provided for him. My heart goes out to people who are given to the gay lifestyle. I was speaking about gays one time years ago, and a father wrote me the story of his daughter. And his daughter came to him and said, "I'm gay, and I don't want to do this, but I can't help it. Please help me." And so the daddy took her to the preacher, and the preacher wasn't able to help. And so he took her to psychiatrists and psychologists, and they all said, "Well, it's natural, and it's okay." And a poor girl killed herself. And it's just heartbreaking when you hear stories like that. So we have to be careful that we don't offend people, that we make it known that we love people, and we know that sin is sin and that we're all tempted to sin. I have been tempted with wild women all my life, and I'm telling you, it's no worse. It's all the same. Sin is sin. And so what I would advise those to do who have those problems, suffer those type of problems, is an old penitentiary saying, "Time wounds all heals." Just be cool. Keep confessing to God, I'm sorry, have mercy on me, the sinner. Save me from myself, save me from the devil, save me from sin. And I promise you that God will hear a prayer like that and will save you from whatever sin you have, from whatever temptation you have. And every man has his own way, and every woman has her own way. We're all tempted with something. Don't tell me we're not. I know we are. And so, just be cool. The answer doesn't have to come today. God often says the answer to prayer is wait. We had a man that was coming to this church that his son had been gut shot downtown at a hotel at a gang initiation. A gang called the boy up to the car and gut shot him, and they saved his life out at Parkland. And I went and visited with him and counseled with him for years and years and years. And as he was dying, it took him years to die, and as he was dying, he told me, Brother Kelly, he said, you know, this is really for the best. Because I was gay and I couldn't stop it. And now God has put me in a position so I can't do that anymore and have no desires that way anymore. And God has saved my soul. My God is good enough to save you in all manner of way. We don't know how God will save you from drugs. We don't know how He'll save you from alcohol. We don't know how long it'll take to save you from wild women or wild men or whatever your problem is. We promise you that He says He'll save you from it. He'll save you from it if you'll just trust Him. In 2 Corinthians 1:20 is really apropos. Drop down to that, please. For all the promises of God in Him are yea. Christ said it. If you just believe and trust in God in Christ to save you, all the promises that He made to Abraham as an example, I will bless him that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. All of those promises are for you too. All the promises of God, if you're in Him, are yes. They're for you. And in Him, the amen, the so be it is amen, unto the glory of God by us. So we should glorify God. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph. Always causes us to triumph. And make us manifest the Savior of the knowledge of us in every place. No matter what your problem is, in the end, you'll triumph if you'll just be in Christ. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly. Now notice places is not in the original manuscript. What is the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven? It's the church. God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the church. He kept back nothing. He gave all His talents out to us. There's surely a 5-talent Christian sitting out here somewhere that can conquer the world. I know there is under the sound of my voice. And I know that there are a bunch of 2-talent Christians sitting out here who can do all kinds of things. And I know that there are a bunch of 1-talent Christians that can put that talent to work and do something. Because if you'll just improve on that 1 talent and bear some fruit, what kind of fruit? God wants 2 kinds of fruit, souls and Christian character. He wants you to become better, for the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and gentleness and meekness and temperance and faith. He wants all those things to grow in you. And if you'll use your talents and grow those, you'll shine like a light in this dark world. You'll be the salt of the earth that'll help preserve this country another generation. There is hope. There's a future if Christians will go to work. There's no hope if we just hide our talent in a napkin or dig a hole in the earth and bury it. There's no hope for this world. We're all the salt that there is. There's no more salt, just us. Ephesians 3:9, and to make all men to see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hidden God, who created all things but Jesus Christ. Through the intent now, that unto the principalities and powers and heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. The over and over and over again wisdom of God is His Messiah coming and dying on a cross according to the eternal purpose that He proposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's God's one purpose was to come and to die on the cross. It was God's eternal purpose in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. If you're here this morning and you're ready to become a Christian, you're going to have that opportunity right now. You can just march right down to the front down here. Just come right on down to the front and make confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Put your faith and trust and confidence in God to save you. Repent of your sins and be baptized into Christ and have all your sins washed away. Won't you come now while we stand and sing?